Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from Ireland, we have Father Thomas McCarthy. Father Thomas has done many things in the Order, but now lives in Galway, assisting in chaplaincy work at the university and with RTE, Ireland's national broadcaster, as a commentator and translator for papal events. His preaching today is entitled, Unwrap the Gift.
A genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah, Tamar being their mother. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram was the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon was the father of Boaz, Rahab being his mother, Boaz was the father of Obed, Ruth being his mother, Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asa, Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, Joram the father of Azariah, Azariah was the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amon, Amon the father of Josiah, and Josiah was the father of Jeconiah and his brothers. Then the deportation to Babylon took place. After the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel was the father of Abiud, Abiud, the father of Eliakim, Eliakim, the father of Azor, Azor was the father of Zadok, Zadok, the father of Achim, Achim, the father of Eliud, Eliud was the father of Eleazar, Eleazar, the father of Matan, and Matan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Of her was born Jesus, who is called Christ. The sum of generations is therefore 14 from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the Babylonian deportation, and 14 from the Babylonian deportation to Christ. This is the Gospel of the Lord. I read somewhere that the brainy scholar Thomas was in Paris, listening at the feet of learned professors, and one day he was asked, "Where do you come from?" Giving perhaps an inkling of the brilliance to come, he answered, "I won't tell you where I'm from, but I'm glad to tell you where I'm going." Our gospel on this 17th day of December, just a week before Christmas Eve, is certainly keen to show us where Jesus came from, in that it presents a highly stylized genealogy, linking him clearly with such epochal figures from the history of the Jewish people as Abraham and King David. The coming on earth of the Word of God made flesh. This is, and I say this in a season that's so often seen as about buying presents for each other, this is a gift from the divine hand, a gift we cannot run out of thanks for. And the child was wrapped in swaddling clothes, wrapped up. Do I want to unwrap this gift, or leave it as it is, tiny, precious, innocent? The child may seem to look at me, but it's not asking me any questions or presenting me with any challenge yet. The Christ child is a gift from God I can admire. The child's only sound for now is the bailing of a tiny baby. But I must unwrap the gift. I actually know the gift is good for me. It will do me good. But I also sense that it could be uncomfortable to wrap it, to unwrap it. It might ask questions. It might demand an answer, not just for a few minutes kneeling at a romantic crib, but longer, perhaps my whole adult life long. My answer to the question this child asks could take ages. Yes, I believe one of the challenges you and I face is to fast forward at Christmas time and consider not the Christ child in Bethlehem, but the adult Christ in Galilee, on the lake, in Jerusalem, in the temple, in the house of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, wherever. The opening of the gift that I've received means opening my ears to the adult Christ and the message he wants me to hear and act upon. And yes, here is the challenge. I'm not called particularly to admire the wonderful story of Bethlehem and sing the sweet carols and drink the celebratory wine. No, the challenge is one I'm offered by the Lord God, since the Lord has created me in love and knows I'm able for the challenge. But it's a challenge all the same. The challenge is to live a life that reflects His, a life that knows love, mutual respect, dedication to one another, a willingness to let go of holding on to my own viewpoint only, and instead hear and consider the point of view of others. And a life that reflects this means also behavior that is honest and true to our best nature, true to the nature of beings that are formed in the image and likeness of God, no less. It sounds wise and desirable. But the wine can be a bitter vinegar for some time. Jesus' own loyalty to his mission meant drinking a chalice he would have preferred to leave on. It's a challenge. The joy of the gospel, of course, is that the ability to do this, the grace that enables us to match up to these expectations, this grace, this ability themselves come from the one who has come as a gift wrapped up by his mum in swaddling clothes. The Lord desires your salvation, mine, more even than we desire it ourselves.